From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming voanews.id.
Hello VOI listener, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me Rahma, who will accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we present some information starting from news, diplomatic corner, and so forth. We will also play some songs. Now let's begin with news, so stay with us only on voinews.id, RRI Play Go mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo says Indonesia is open for investment and cooperation. BKKBN pushes all local governments to provide additional food for children to prevent stunting. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news, where President Joko Widodo has ensured that Indonesia is very open to investment and cooperation, such as downstream industry and green economy. This was conveyed by President Joko Widodo in his remarks while attending the opening ceremony of the Handover Messe 2023. The event took place at the Handover Congress Centrum, Handover, Germany, on Sunday evening. In addition, he also emphasized that Indonesia's commitment to maintaining environmental sustainability. This can be seen from a number of concrete actions that have been taken to improve the environment and implement the energy transition. Indonesia succeeded in establishing 19 new industrial collaboration at the Handover Messe 2023 event. Indonesia also made a record as the first country in Asia to become the official partner country 3 times. The National Population and Family Planning Agency, BKKBN, encourage all local governments to immediately provide additional food for pregnant women and children under 5 years old, ahead of simultaneous children's examinations in August 2023. Head of BKKBN Hasto Wardoyo remarked in a statement on Sunday, in a virtual roadshow for stunting reduction acceleration held in collaboration with the Coordinating Ministry for Human Development and Culture. He invited the local governments to use BKKBN's data to improve their stunting reductions program and become more on target. Although many provinces have smaller stunting prevalence rates than the national rate, which reaches 21.6% according to the Indonesian Nutritional Status Survey, SSGI 2022, the rates in each province may increase again due to poverty. Hence, Coordinating Minister for Human Development and Culture, Muhajir Effendi, also emphasized that the local government should optimize the village fund for handling stunting and extreme poverty. The Indonesian Volcanology and Geological Disaster Mitigation Agency, PVMBG, has reported that the status of Mount Karanggetang in Siau Tagulandang Biaro, Sitaro Island District, North Sulawesi Province, remains on alert level 3. Head of the Karanggetang Volcano Observation Post, Yudia Tatipang, said on Sunday that he expected the residents to comply with the appeal regarding the dangerous zones or recommendation issued by the PVMBG. He also noted that according to the observations conducted from 12 a.m. to 6 a.m. Central Indonesia Standard Time on Sunday, the mountain was clearly visible, although sometimes it was covered by the fog. Tatipang appealed to the community, tourists and climbers not to carry out any activities in the areas within a 2.5 kilometers radius of the main crater and 3.5 kilometers radius of the peak in the south and southeast sectors of the volcano. Residents near the mountain are also asked to remain calm and not to be provoked by false information regarding the eruptions of the volcano. Let's move on to the international news, where the U.S. warship USS Milius sailed through the Taiwan Strait on Sunday in what the U.S. Navy described on Monday as a routine transit, just days after China's ended its latest war games around the island. China, which views Taiwan as its own territory, officially ended its 3 days of exercise around Taiwan last Monday, where it practiced precision strikes and blockading the island. The ship transited through a corridor in the strait that is beyond the territorial sea of any coastal state, the Navy said. The ship's transit demonstrated the United States' commitment to a free and open Indo-Pacific. Russian President Vladimir Putin met Chinese Defense Minister Li Shangfu in Moscow on Sunday, and both men hailed military cooperation between the two nations, which have declared a no-limits partnership. Chinese President Xi Jinping met Putin in Moscow last month. Russia and China have moved to further strengthen their economic, political, and military ties since Moscow sent tens of thousands of troops into Ukraine in February 2022. The two countries are working actively through their military departments, regularly exchange useful information, work together in the field of military technical cooperation, and hold joint exercises. The exercises, he added, had been held in the Far East as well as Europe and involved ground, naval, and air forces. Fierce fighting raged in Sudan's capital despite an hour's pause on Sunday to address humanitarian needs, including the evacuation of wounded on the second day of battles that left three UN staffs among more than 50 civilians killed throughout the country. The World Food Programme said it was suspending operation in the impoverished countries after the killing of its three workers. The battles between the powerful armed forces and the rapid support forces, RSF, sparked an international outcry and regional concern, including border closures by neighbors Egypt and Chad. Australian Minister for Trade and Tourism Don Farrell on April 16 began his visit to Vietnam and the Philippines to demonstrate the commitment of the governments of Australian Prime Minister Anthony Albanese to strengthening and diversifying Australia's economic ties in the region. The press release of the minister's office stated that Australia and Vietnam are close partners and friends. In particular, 2023 marks the 50th anniversary of the two countries' diplomatic relation. Meanwhile, Australia and the Philippines are poised to upgrade their bilateral relations to a strategic partnership in 2023. As for Australia in Southeast Asia, Vietnam and the Philippines are two of the top emerging markets in terms of international rivals to the country. Therefore, Australia hopes that the strong bilateral relationship with both countries will help continue to develop the tourism industry in a time ahead. Well, listeners, now let's move on to commentary for today on international perspective on homecoming holiday. Eid al-Fitr or Lebaran, expected to fall on April 21st, is the most important holiday in Indonesia, where the majority of population is Muslim. It has become a tradition that before the day, people leave the big city where they make a living and return to their hometowns to celebrate with their families and relatives. The most widely used mode of transportation is four-wheeled vehicle, both privately owned and rented. As a result, severe traffic jams often occurred on several roads, even on toll roads, leading to certain areas. The number of Eid al-Fitr travelers this year is expected to increase from 86 million last year to 123 million this year. This was conveyed by President Joko Widodo when directly observing the preparation for going home at the port of Merak on Tuesday, April 11. In his remarks, President Jokowi hopes that this year's homecoming flow will go well. In fact, the peak of homecoming on certain days does not only occur in Indonesia, but also in several other countries, such as the United States and Canada. The tradition of going home every year, there is to celebrate national holidays, such as Thanksgiving every November 24th or Christmas Day, December 25th. Meanwhile, in Europe, the peak of travel crowds is usually not when celebrating holidays, but during the summer holidays. Northern Europeans en masse will travel to seaside tourist areas in Southern Europe to enjoy the sunshine. Total traffic jams usually occur on the French highway known as the Route du Soleil or the Route to the Sunshine. This phenomenon is often referred to as a Black Friday because French people usually start their holiday season on Friday, entering the weekend. However, the biggest homecoming flow on planet Earth is the trip made by the Chinese people in order to celebrate the Chinese New Year's. In January 2023, there were 2.1 billion movements of land, sea, and air transportation modes there. The mode of transportation most in demand by Chinese people is train. For Indonesians, homecoming in groups has its own meaning. Apart from satisfying their longing for family and friends, travelers will generally spend the money they earn while working overseas in their respective hometowns. Then there was a fairly encouraging economic movement in the region. Hopefully, the homecoming flow in order to celebrate Eid al-Fitr 2023 will run smoothly. Listener, that was the news. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Let's begin today in history. On April 17, with an event in 1960 when the Indonesian Islamic Students Movement was founded. The Indonesian Islamic Students Movement is one of the students' elements that has aspiration to make Indonesia better in the future. This organization was founded on April 17, 1960. At first, the movement was driven by the young people of Nahdlatul Ulama. However, the Munarjati Declaration was issued on July 14, 1972, and the movement stated its independence from the NU institutions. Its founders included Mahbub Junaidi and Subhan Zee, who work as journalists as well as politicians. Let's move on to an event on April 17 about World Hemophilia Day. World Hemophilia Day was created by the World Federation of Hemophilia in 1989. April 17 was chosen because it is the Federation's anniversary. The commemoration was aimed at promoting awareness of bleeding conditions and disease and generating funds for people who could not afford to pay for hemophilia treatment. We end today in history with an event in 1996 about International Peasants' Struggle Day. On April 17, 1996, the military police of El Dorado dos Carajás, Brazil, opened fire on farmers during a demonstration by landless farmers demanding their rights to land in the country. They had no more land to cultivate after their land was confiscated by the state for industrial and mining activities. Shooting occurred, and consequently 19 people were killed and 60 people were seriously injured. This day is then commemorated as International Peasants' Struggle Day.
Thank you.
listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
The Indonesian government officially launched the Rempang Economic Area Development Program Free Trade and Free Port Area Batam on Wednesday. The targeted investment value reaches 381 trillion rupiah, with a workforce of 306,000 workers. Coordinating Minister for Economic Affairs Erlangga Hartarto in Jakarta last Wednesday said, development of the Rempang area is part of the development of Batam, Bintan and Karimun in the master plan for the development of the free trade and port area. According to Erlangga, the development will be focused on three sectors, namely the industrial, service and tourism sectors. It is hoped that the effect can develop because the location of Batam, Bintan, Karimun, including Rempang Island, is close to Singapore and Malaysia, thus providing high competitiveness. Erlangga Hartarto emphasized, as a form of commitment to area development, the Ministry of Forestry and Environment has issued a decree regarding the change of 7,560 hectares area in the Rempang. Meanwhile, the Ministry of Agrarian Affairs and Spatial Planning, National and Land Agency, has also issued a decree on management rights over the Rempang area. Further, the Batam Entrepreneurs Agency has also stipulated development plans and regulation, including the amount of land pricing. Erlangga added, the development of this area is targeted to bring in investment of 381 trillion rupiahs in the next 80 years. For the first phase, investment realization in the Rempang area is targeted to reach 29 trillion rupiah. It is hoped that this area can change the horizon in Singapore and Batam.
Kamu bisa apa? Bila Tuhan mau kau jadi milikku.
Kita bisa apa? Berlari ku mengejar dirimu, bermimpi untuk mendapatkan cintamu selalu dan takkan pernah terganti. Melihat kau begitu sempurna membuat kini ku makin terpikat. Oh, oh, kamu bisa apa bila Tuhan mau kau jadi milikku. Kamu bisa apa bila Tuhan ingin kau jadi takdirku. Kita bisa apa? Oh, 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 oh. Kita bisa apa? Oh, 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 oh. Oh. Berlari ku mengejar dirimu, bermimpi untuk mendapatkan cintamu selalu dan takkan pernah terganti. Melihat kau begitu sempurna membuat kini ku makin terpikat. Oh, oh, kamu bisa apa bila Tuhan mau kau jadi milikku. Kamu bisa apa bila Tuhan ingin kau menjadi takdirku. Kita bisa apa? Oh, berlari-lari mencari. Oh, 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 semua cinta yang engkau mahu. Oh, kau tahu cintaku tak pernah padam untukmu dan semua cintamu. Oh, kamu bisa. Bila Tuhan mau kau jadi milikku. Kamu bisa apa bila Tuhan mau kau jadi milikku. Kamu bisa apa bila Tuhan ingin kau jadi takdirku. Kita bisa apa? Oh, oh, oh. apa.
You're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people. VOI listener, today's edition of Indonesian Wonder presents a traditional food from Banten Province, Indonesia, namely rabek. Rabek is a soupy dish made from processed goat meat mixed with pieces of offal and cooked with lots of spices, as well as seasonings that coat the meat. The basic ingredients for rabek are shallots, garlic, and white pepper. Other supporting spices are nutmeg, cinnamon, ginger, galangal, and cayenne pepper. The spicy taste is very distinctive. Apart from being made from goat meat, rabek can also be made from beef or a mixture of the two meats. The history of rabek cuisine begins with the journey of Sultan Maulana Hasanuddin to perform the pilgrimage to the Holy Land Mecca. The first port city to land on the shores of the Red Sea was Rabek. The Sultan of Banten was very impressed with the beauty of the city. He also had time to eat food, which is a typical menu of the city. After returning to Banten, memories of the city of Rabek in Saudi Arabia made the Sultan ask the chef of the palace to cook mutton like he had eaten. No one knows how to cook mutton like in Mecca, therefore the chef created their own special mutton dishes. Apparently, the Sultan really liked it. Since then, the delicious and fragrant tender mutton dish has become a mandatory dish in the palace. Rabek's name was attached to the dish. Over time, the name rabek changed to rabek. Until now, rabek is still a popular dish in Banten Province. In Serang City, as the capital of Banten Province, there are many stalls and restaurants serving this food. In addition, this acculturated Arab Bantenese cuisine is often served on the Idul Fitr and Idul Adha. Rabek is also cooked for the Akikah event. Akikah, according to the Indonesian dictionary, is the slaughter of a goat or sheep as a statement of gratitude for the parents for the birth of their child. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Deru di dada.
VOI listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian, in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. This is Voice of Indonesia with Let's Speak Indonesian, a program that introduces the Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in the language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia, or Let's Speak Indonesian, is a joint initiative of Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is about going to tourist places, so stay tuned. We are going to present you a conversation entitled Dia Pemandu Wisata. Dia Pemandu Wisata, which means he is a tourist guide. This conversation happens between Dev Singh, a tourist from India, and Ketut, his travel companion, who works as a tourist guide in Yogyakarta, and Datil, a tourist guide. Datil tells about Ketut to Dev by using the third subject pronoun, he. Let's listen to the conversation.
Dev, ini Ketut. Dia pemandu wisata.
After listening to the conversation, now I'm going to introduce some vocabulary and expressions related to the topic of today. I'm going to say each word 2 times and you can repeat after me. Dia, dia, which means he or she. Pemandu wisata, which means tourist guide. Dia pemandu wisata, which means he is a tourist guide. In the conversation, you hear the sentence, dia pemandu wisata, which means he is a tourist guide. In the sentence, there is the word dia, dia, which means he. The word dia, dia, which means he, is the third subject pronoun that substitutes a person who is being talked about. Besides the third singular subject pronoun, there is a plural third subject pronoun, namely mereka, mereka, which means they. It functions to substitute some people who are being talked about. For example, mereka wisatawan, which means they are tourists. The third singular subject pronoun dia, dia, which means he or she, can be used to refer man or woman. For example, dia Datil. Datil is a woman, which means she is Datil. And dia Dev. Dia Dev, which means he is Dev. Before we end today's Let's Speak Indonesian, let's listen to the conversation once more.
Dev, ini Ketut. Dia pemandu wisata.
Well, listener, that was Let's Speak Indonesian for today. Hopefully, this edition can be useful for those of you who want to know more about Indonesian language. I'm Rahma. Sampai jumpa.
Maukah lagi kau mengulang ragu dan sendu yang lama? Dia yang dulu pernah bersamamu memahat kecewa, atau kau inginkan yang baru? Sungguh menyayangimu, aku ingin
menjadi milikku. Bersamaku mulai hari ini hilang ruang untuk cinta yang lain. Separuh jalan pernah dilewati, meski ada kecewa. Aku yang dulu tak begitu lagi, takkan ku ulangi. Jangan dulu engkau berpaling, beri ku kesempatan. Aku mulai hari baru, hilang ruang untuk cinta yang lain. Lupakan dia, pergi denganku. Lupakanlah ragu denganku.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September the 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11th, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voinews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared, who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
You're still tuned to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Play Go mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. The next segment is Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
VOI listeners, today's music corner presents a keroncong song entitled Setangkai Anggrek Bulan by Bella Nadinda. The song Setangkai Anggrek Bulan, which was composed by Arianto, was sung many times by Indonesian singers, either duet or solo. Like Bruri Marantika featuring Emilia Contessa, Rano Karno featuring Ria Irawan, while for solo were Krisha featuring Sophia Latjuba, Rani, Tanto Yahya, Yunishara, and Pinkan Mambo. This song has poetic and romantic lyrics. It tells of a man who is missing his girlfriend that is far from him, so he sends a moon orchid flower as a symbol of his love. Well, listener, here is Bella Nadinda with the keroncong song entitled Setangkai Anggrek Bulan, which literally means a moon orchid. Happy listening!
Bahagia, tarararararara.
Voice of Indonesia. Of Indonesia.
Ya Rafi Ashan, Ya Rafi Ashan, Niwa Daroji. Ya Rasulullah, Salamun Alaik. Ya Rafi Ashan, Ya Rafi Ashan, Ya Rafi Ashani wa daroji.
Engkau cahaya di dalam hidup, di dalam hidup. dalam hidup, di dalam hidup, ya Habibi.
Ya Rasulullah, salamun alaik. Ya Rafi'ashan, ya Rafi'ashan, ya Rafi'ashani wa daraji. Engkau syahdunya, sungguh syahdunya, ya Habibi. Ya Rasulullah, salamun alaik. Ya Rafi'ashan, ya Rafi'ashan, ya Rafi'ashan. Sejukkan hati, sejukkan hati, ya Habibi. Oh. Ya Rasulullah, salamun alaik. Ya Rafi'ashan, ya Rafi'ashan, ya Rafi'ashan.
From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program.
Programs on the English program from Voice of Indonesia. If you have any comments, suggestion, criticism, any feedback for Voice of Indonesia, just drop us a line through our Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at VOI _official. Don't forget to follow us on TikTok at VOI _official and YouTube channel VOI Official. I'm Rahma signing out. I'll see you in the next interesting edition of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. From Indonesia to the world.